And so here we are again on the very threshold of entering into the fall holy day season. Feast of Trumpets, just a week or so away. It's almost here. So, of course, anticipation, expectations are running high. We all want to have a wonderful, a successful holiday season. No problems whatsoever. And we're expecting that. Is there anything we can do to keep from being disappointed? You know, the last thing we want to have happen is we go to the feast and, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. Or, you know, something I wish I would have planned for and then I didn't. Is there anything that could happen that we would allow to happen that would spoil our feast celebrations? We thought about that, thinking these things through. What does it take to have a happy and a successful fall holy day season? Again, we know from past experience that so many special moments, memorable moments, are going to happen over the next 30 days or so, things that we will remember. Because you can think back and things that happened 15, 20, 30 years ago at a feast or at a holy day, and there's something special about it. Well, those memories are going to be made within the next 30 days again for us. And we want them to be happy memories, don't we, after this is all over. We want to be able to look back after the holy days are over and in November and have a sense of accomplishment, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of satisfaction and happiness. And, of course, a sense of spiritual well-being. We feel that we've grown because of observing the holy days this year. Well, how can we be sure that we do this? Well, let's ask this question. How can we maximize the moments of the fall holy days? If you were looking for a title for this split sermon, that was it. Maximize the moments. We're going to look at a few points here, a few keys to help us to know how to do that. I have them numbered so you can keep track of where I am a little bit. I won't tell you how many numbers I have, though. It could be 5. There could be 55. Just hang on. Number 1. Make sure you observe and keep the fall holy days. Observe and keep. There's an important distinction here between simply attending the fall holy days. We don't just go there and attend services. We are keeping, we are observing the fall holy days. Leviticus 23 verse 1 mentions the significance of the days that we're about to keep. And of course the spring as well, but let's focus on the fall holy days. It says in beginning in verse 1, the Eternal spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feast." Now, we have to understand what's being said there. My purpose today is to proclaim that these are holy convocations, holy commanded assemblies. They're very special days. We can't take them for granted. So if we fail to really observe these days, and kind of they just come. The calendar shows they're just here. Another day. Oh, I'm supposed to go to Medmen today. Or, oh, I'm supposed to go to wherever. Oh, I'm not supposed to eat today. That's right. I better get a drink of water quick. If they just sneak up upon us, then we've missed something. We need to have an appreciation for the significance of these days, of how very special they are to God and how very special they must be to us. How can we do that? Well, point A, take the holy days very seriously. Take them seriously. The holy days are not just days off from school. I mean, that's great for our kids who've just started school and now they get, you know, a few days off or off of work. But this is different. This is not like a vacation. Now, I understand that, because I did this for 30-some years, this was my vacation time. You know, I took vacation and went to the feast. But we don't treat it like it's a vacation. Oh, I want to just go and have a good time, physically speaking. It's more than that. These days, as we go to observe them and keep them, they're filled with deep spiritual meaning that we, as God's people, we are expected to understand and appreciate what that spiritual meaning is. There's a reason why we keep these days and observe them. We can't let that go past. In fact, it said in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 47, let me just read that, in reference to Deuteronomy 32, 47, "It is not a vain or an idle thing for you, because it is your life. And we've mentioned that before, that scripture. This is your life. It's not just something that we treat casually. God has given us priceless knowledge about Him, about His plan of salvation for all mankind, and our role in that. He's shown us how we're the first fruits. He's called us to live a different way of life than most people. They don't understand this way of life. But He's called us especially to know it now. So we need to approach the holy days with a certain degree of respect. Maybe take it even above respect into reverence. Because these are commanded assemblies by God. We have received a special invitation from the great God, the great Creator God, and God the Father, to be here, to assemble together, to appear before the throne of God, as it were, and worship Him on these very special holy days, at that special time. Now, I understand not every day during the feast is a holy day, but it's still a holy time. We're commanded to be at the feast and to worship God at the Feast of Tabernacles. Point B under this, under learning to observe the holy days and to make sure that we observe them and keep them. Point B is, as you are listening to a sermon, whether it be on trumpets or atonement or any of the days during the Feast of Tabernacles, don't say this. Don't say, well, I know that already. I've heard that before. Now, God's ministers have a responsibility to, as Leviticus 23:4 says, proclaim them in their season. We're talking about meat in due season. In fact, that's what I'm going to be speaking about during the feast this year. What that means, meat in due season. I thought it was a fascinating study. It really applies to the Feast of Tabernacles. But the lessons and the meanings of the holy days are going to be in the sermonettes and the sermons you hear during the holy days. You're going to hear why we're here. Why do we observe? Why do we fast on the Day of Atonement? What's so special about the Feast of Trumpets? It's that holy day that has a funny name, the Feast of Trumpets. You know, what do we have, a bunch of trumpets there? And what is this all about? We need to understand it. Don't take it for granted and say, well, I've heard this year after year after year. It's the same thing over and over. People say, if I hear the story of the goats one more time on Day of Atonement, I think I'll just scream. Well, there's a reason we do that, right? It's in due season. We need to know that lesson. It's not in my sermon this year. But be careful not to take that approach. Never lose your love, your sense of wonderment, your excitement about the holy days and the message of the holy days. Don't ever let them become routine, mundane. I've been to the feast 50 years, and this is my 50th. So never let it, I think, no, this is my 49th next year. It's my 50th year in the church, my 49th time to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. If we heard 100 sermons about the incredible meaning of the Feast of Trumpets, 100 sermons about the establishment of the kingdom of God, the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, along with the resurrected saints, that's us, you and me. If we heard sermon after sermon after that, could it be too many? How could you ever get tired of hearing about those things? I would say you cannot. You should not. If you can't have that excitement and anticipation about hearing about the meaning of these days, then we're missing something. We need to find that and internalize it. Point C, under observing and keeping the holy days, teach your children to love the holy days. Again, this was brought out in the other split sermon about teaching our children. We'll look at that, Deuteronomy 11. If you learn to love the holy days from the time you're a little child, and you're taught to continue that year after year after year, you will continue to love the holy days as an adult. At least that's my belief. We read the book of Deuteronomy. We have some indication here about what God feels, what His instructions are to us about including our children and making sure that our children understand what we're doing. Why do we take off school or work and go observe a funny holy day, or a holy day with a funny name, the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement? Well, wait a minute. Isn't that, that's Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah on the calendar? What's the difference? Why are we doing this? We need to explain that. Deuteronomy 11:19. You shall teach them to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Certainly the fall holidays are an excellent time to do this. It's also in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 46, have the same instruction. He says, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law. So parents, it's your responsibility to talk to your children about the feast. Certainly about every single one of the holy days, on whatever level that they can understand. Of course, it's age appropriate. We have the manual now, the Encourage, Equip, and Inspire, that helps us give lessons for them to understand the holy days, to look forward to the holy days. I know as they get to be a little bit older, I don't know what age, each age is different, whether it's 8 years old, 12 years old, you know, teaching them to anticipate and enjoy the Day of Atonement, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Okay, it can be done. We are creative with that. We certainly help, you know, prepare a special meal for them after sundown, something like that. But what can we do? How can we make each one of the holy days something special for our children that they'll understand, they'll appreciate, and they'll remember? Whatever you come up with, the point is helping them to love these days, to anticipate the days. Teach them why they're so special. Tell them about God's plan, what this day means in God's plan. On trumpets, talk to them what it means, the resurrection. Someone that they may know, a grandma, a grandpa, something that's died, you'll see them again when this day becomes a reality. You'll see Jesus Christ and the reality of that. So we teach our children from the time they're very young. So again, to summarize, point one, be sure you and your family observe the holy days, taking special note of them, anticipate them, expect to grow spiritually from them during the days, learn about them, and if you have children or grandchildren, there's your opportunity to teach them to love the holy days. Point number two, the holy days take planning and preparation. It's a little bit related here, all these points really are. But it takes planning and preparation. There's no way you can maximize the moments of the feast if you don't prepare, if you don't plan. Most of us have already done our feast planning. We know where we're going to stay, how we're going to get there. All those have been taken care of by now. But let's consider a few areas under this. Point A, plan now to attend all the services. Don't say, well, I've got something on this day, I'm going to take off because we're going to do this activity. No, attend all the services. The last thing you want to have happen, at least in my point of view, don't miss opening night. So many people will think opening night, well, it's not all that important. After all, the service is shorter. They're just giving a split sermon. I don't really see the purpose of going to that opening night. To me, walking in the auditorium on opening night with that full moon out there just starting to come up, there is no more exciting time of the year than that night, that moment. So allow plenty of time for travel. Don't leave home at the last possible minute, so you have to rush, just barely make it to service. I understand there may be some extenuating circumstances with work or family or whatever, but hopefully you can plan to arrive at the feast no later than, let's say, 3 o'clock or so that afternoon before the feast, if at all possible. Again, it's a spiritual time that we appear before God. He's invited us to be there. We don't want to be late. We don't want to say, well, this first one, it is really not all that important to me, this opening night. You've called me there, but I'll see you tomorrow. I've got other things I want to do tonight. So plan to be there and plan to be there on time. Point B, prepare your holiday offerings. Now, most of us have done that. Most of us have some sort of a savings account. If we don't, good idea maybe to start one. Don't just assume you'll have enough money for offerings because something does come up unexpectedly, you know, the car repair or whatever. I've got to have that money for something else, and there I take it out of my offering. Hopefully you can have it in a separate account, a little bit harder to get to. So, again, we should be thinking about our holiday offering all year long, planning for them. It is difficult. If you wait till the last minute for your offerings, and you're taking a look at your checking account, And then you realize, wait a minute, there's four offerings in this month that I've got to give, plus my tithes. And I said, well, I can't afford that. Well, you can if you plan and prepare for it all year long. So don't forget about your holy day offering. And once again, don't forget your envelopes. Point C. We have plenty of opportunities for this, and that is to participate. Participate at the feast. Service, or just attending the various activities. Opportunities abound at the feast to be of service to other people. Whether or not you sign up for it in advance, they hope that you do. But once you get there, if you haven't, and if you find something that someone that needs help or something, just pitch in and help. So I strongly urge you to be a person who volunteers. I guarantee you will help make a better feast for you while you are making a better feast for someone else. See how that works? Now again, the feast has several planned activities. People are working on their activities right now, making the last preparations. I know Mr. Burrow is working on the teen activity. He's put a lot of work and effort into it, as they are at all the feast sites. And the people who are planning these hope that you attend. If you don't attend, then all that work, you know, that they're counting on you being there. It's always been my experience over the years that if I miss a planned activity and they start talking about it the next morning in services, wow, we had such a great time last night all together and we did this. I thought, I should have gone. And once if I do go, wow, I'm glad I went. This is better than I expected it was going to be. It usually always works out that way. So take opportunities to attend the activities, the sponsored events at the feast. Take every opportunity you can to meet new people. The socials like that are a great opportunity to meet new people. Now, well, it's hard to do that. I'm kind of shy. I want someone to come up to me. Well, if you do keep waiting for someone to come up to you, maybe no one will. You need to be the one that goes up. It's tough to do it, but believe me, the person you go up to and start talking to will be glad that you did it. Be the one that goes up and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm from Raleigh, or I'm from Greensboro, or wherever. I don't think we've met before. Or if we have met before, I'm sorry, I've forgotten you. There's so many. You know, where are you staying? How are you doing? You know, who's your family? Who are you here with? Just start the conversation. Don't, you know, just start waiting for someone to come to you and say, well, they're not very friendly here. You be the one that's friendly. That's the proverb, right? We're supposed to show ourselves friendly. So, you know, before you know it, the feast will be over. You know, we have opening night, and then we have the last great day. That seems to be the way it works. You know, the feast just goes by so quickly. But savor, maximize the moments. You know, take advantage of everything you can. Again, it's planning and preparation to have a successful feast. Number three, it's all in the attitude. Attitude. Oh, there's that word. I know sometimes our teens or young kids, quit talking to me about my attitude. Well, get used to it. It never stops. We always talk about attitude. Even when we're an old person, we have a good attitude. Attitude is a very important part of the feast, isn't it? How about Deuteronomy 12? What should our attitude be like at the Feast of Tabernacles? Verse 6. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 6. I think you already know what it's supposed to be. It's certainly not to be a downer, a pessimistic, a worried. You know, leave that behind. You've got problems at work. You've got problems at school. You've got problems with your family. No, leave that behind. Drop it. You're going to go to the feast and you're going to rejoice before God. That's the command. Deuteronomy 12, verse 6. You shall take your offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the offering of your hand, your vowed offerings and freewill offerings, the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Eternal your God, and you shall rejoice. That's the command. In all to which you put your hand, you and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Verse 12. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons, and your daughter. Verse 18. But you must eat them before the Lord your God, in the place which the Lord your God shall choose, you, your son and daughter, your servant, the Levites within your gates. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all which you put your hands to do. You think rejoicing is an important part of going to the Feast of Tabernacles? What is God's outlook? What's God say? He repeats it over and over again. Rejoice when you go to the feast. That's the attitude of rejoicing, of happiness, of joy. You just can't contain yourselves. Don't worry about the physical things. Don't worry about things back home. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about, well, no one's being friendly to me. Don't worry about, well, I don't have enough money. I wish someone would take me out to eat. Don't worry about that. Rejoice. Be happy. Extend yourself. Someone's going to notice you and say, I want to go with you. Can we go out to eat today? I look at your face. It's just a shining light. I want to be around you. You see the difference? Instead of, nobody's talking to me. See, we go there and we show that rejoicing. We're before God. We're at a commanded assembly before God. What better place? There is no better place in the world to be than at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we show that in our heart, and it shows in your eyes. People will know it. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Here's a place. We recognize this. We take up our offering. You shall observe, this is Deuteronomy 16, 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. See that? Not six, not five. 7 days were there every day when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press. Look at verse 14. And you shall rejoice in your feast. It's God's feast, but he gives it as a gift to you, doesn't he? You know, happy feast, he says. I can't afford it. Yes, you can. I got a plan. He makes everything possible for us. He wants us to go and rejoice before him. Your daughter, all your family, everyone, it says. Verse 15, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all of your produce, in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. He says, see, I'll make it possible. I want you to go there and rejoice. My conclusion would be, if we do not rejoice at the feast, we are not pleasing God. We want to do that. We want to please God. Rejoicing at the feast does not leave any room at all for... Now, let's make a note of the things we cannot do at the feast. It's totally unacceptable. All right? You cannot have anger, frustration, impatience, irritability, and selfishness. Make a note now. Absolutely off limits at the feast. And it's so hard. The devil will throw every little thing at you to try to get you to be upset at the feast. You've got to nip that in the bud. You know, Andy Griffith days. You know, do not let that start. Not even the hint of it, okay? Do not let something... You know, at Pigeon Ford, for example, there's going to be a lot of traffic. People are going to be there enjoying the fall colors. And you go to a restaurant. How long's the wait? 2 hours. And then you get, so upset. Don't let it happen. It's okay. Go to the buffet if you're that much of a hurry. Plan ahead. You know, do something. Don't let traffic or crowds upset you. Don't let something that happens, that goes wrong back at the hotel room. Don't let something upset you. We're there to rejoice. So, and selfishness. It's giving to other people. Sharing. Someone is going to the feast who they don't know how they're going to have enough to eat, because they're going just on barely what they can get, maybe from assistance. Okay? They're counting on you to help them. They're counting on you to say, would you like to go with me? Or some activity that you're going to. Maybe one of the shows. They're dying to go to one of the shows. They can't afford it at all. You know, the $35, $40 tickets. But you've got $300, $400 extra. Would you like to go with me? You think of somebody else. Include them. Make their feast. You see, that's planning. You think ahead of those things. You prepare for that. And then you help them to rejoice. And when you do that, when you've made them happy, guess what? You're happy. You're not worried about frustration and bitterness and anger. You have made someone's feast. On a physical level, we're talking about. But it's a spiritual thing as well, isn't it? When we've done that. Think of that. Think of others. All right. Where are we at? Point A, under attitude. Wow. We're not only the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's think, as we start the Fall Holy Days, we're starting not with the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's start with trumpets. What about celebrating the Feast of Trumpets? This day represents the day we are all looking forward to so anxiously, so much anticipation, the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. This day represents the day when Jesus Christ will return to the earth to establish the kingdom, make the millennium possible. The sound of the seventh trumpet. We just went to a funeral yesterday for a longtime member of Greensboro, Mr. Page, Marvin Page. I don't know whether those of you in Raleigh who knew him or not, but his funeral was yesterday. And there was talk about, you know, the resurrection. Well, that's going to happen. That seventh trumpet is going to sound. And we have loved ones that we can think of. We're waiting for that day to happen. And we also looking forward to just being changed. If we're alive at that moment and we hear it, it says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Our job at that time will be to assist Jesus Christ, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Indescribable glory, indescribable happiness that will be ours forever from that time on. And you stop about that and you think about that and you rejoice in the Feast of Trumpets. And that's on your mind. That's what you hear about on the Day of Trumpets. And that's in your mind. How can you not have a wonderful fall holy day season when you begin with that concept of eternal life in the family of God, of Resurrection Day? Don't let that go by. Don't let trumpets go by without really anticipating. When you go to sleep that night, you think about what trumpets means to you when that day is fulfilled. And how about that we consider atonement as well? I have a sermon that I give that it talks about celebrating the Day of Atonement. That's not a day we think of celebration, but we should. It is a day of celebration. Satan, the devil, his demons, the cause of all the evil in the world, all the negativity. He is, of course, the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And how powerful and how active he is right now. Again, he likely knows he has but a short time, and he's very angry. The day fulfillment of the Day of Atonement shows us that this evil spirit, Satan and his demons, bound, chained away from mankind for 1,000 years. 1,000 years, and Satan is gone. No more broadcast, if you will, of that negativity, that evil, that clash, that frustration, that worry, that anxiety, that bitterness, that resentment. That's all gone. All of that is gone. At least it begins to be gone as Satan is now bound away. We work through that until it's completely gone. People will be kind, considerate, caring, patient, understanding, tolerant, happy. You see, that's the attitude. We're putting that away now. We're putting away those negative attitudes now because we put Satan out of our lives. We have said, no, don't bother me. We have God's Spirit, and we've replaced the attitude of Satan the devil with the attitude and the frame of mind of God's Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. That's the way we are. That's the way it will be in the world tomorrow. We're going to help teach that. We're going to help prepare that as God's Spirit begins to permeate society then. It's available. The veil is torn. The curtain is torn. And God's access to God is available. His Spirit is available, not Satan's Spirit. And the world is transformed. That's why we go and we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And we celebrate at the feast with these attitudes of happiness, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness, without any room at all for the negativity that has to be stopped, because that is not representative of the world tomorrow. Satan's bound, remember? We can't have that here today. So that's, we consider that atonement. Atonement helps us prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles. Number four, be spiritual during the Holy Days. Be spiritual during the Holy Days. Obviously, we know there's deep spiritual reason for observing and keeping the Holy Days. It's not just time off from work or school. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, we're told to keep the feast so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That's why we go. We don't go just because it's vacation time. We're not going there just to see how much fun we can have during our time off. That's not the point of going. Again, what are some ways we can accomplish this, being spiritual during the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, all the holy days, really. Point A, comprehend the meaning and the significance of this particular day. Again, it's kind of a repeat, but as this particular holy day approaches, review the scriptures about it. Again, this is family time. Asking God to give you a deeper appreciation and understanding of the meaning of the day. What it means to you personally, this day. What does trumpets mean to you personally? What does atonement, what does the last great day mean to you personally? Be mentally and spiritually prepared to keep the holy day when it arrives, because you're prepared. You've reviewed the scriptures. Maybe you've listened to an older sermon, something, or gone back and looked at your notes from last year. You're prepared. Point B, get into the sermonettes and sermons. Listen to what's being said. Don't allow a distraction to cause you to miss what's being said. In a sermonette, they've got, 12 or 13 minutes, and it's over. If you distracted for 5 minutes, you've missed almost half of it. Again, these messages have been prepared to help you to learn, help you to grow spiritually. They're the best sermonettes the guys can give, the best sermons the guys can get together. They've been prepared. They're working really hard on them. I know they are. To help us have a deeper understanding of God's plan of salvation. So we have a responsibility to listen. Hear what's being said. Don't allow yourself to get distracted. Get there in time for services. Don't, again, not arriving late the last minute. Be there early. 15 minutes, 30 minutes ahead of time, be there. Fellowship a little. A lot. Meet people. And then be prepared to sing the hymns and to listen to the messages that are being prepared, to the special music that's also being prepared as well. Hear what's being said. Point C, share the holy days with God. Again, these are God's feast days, not our days. So include God in the holy days. Thank Him for what He's allowed you to understand, that He's allowed you to be there and to comprehend the meaning of the day. He's called you out of all the billions and billions of people on earth. He's called you, selected you, and allowed you to be at the feast. Ask Him to expand and increase your understanding and appreciation of what that day means. When you're at the feast, you're enjoying a fine meal with someone or an activity, take a moment to acknowledge, you know what? My Father made this possible. God made this possible. I wouldn't be here had He not called me, showed me His truth. I wouldn't be here. When you've just been moved by an inspiring sermon, take the time to talk to God and thank Him for what the sermon meant to you, for inspiring the message. We ask God to inspire the messages, don't we? I hope you're doing that now as we prepare them. So remember, these are the feasts of the Lord. We must make sure we include Him as a major part of our feast days. So we find, as we look around us outside, we look at the trees starting to have that subtle change of color. We notice a little bit of yellows in them. The nights are cooler, well, just a little bit. It's not quite so cool, but maybe better than 95 degrees. I think we can tell. I know I was mowing my yard, and I looked at all the fall grass and my dying grass, you know, for lack of rain. Fall is in the air. We can tell it. Our time of preparation and planning is about over. Before you know it, this group, here we've got Greensboro and Raleigh, we'll be meeting together over in Mebane again. A nice facility we have over there, spending time together. We're enjoying the Feast of Trumpets as we kick off the fall holy days. I wonder if you do that, if you consider how many more Feast of Trumpets will we celebrate in this life? We don't know. Until the Feast of Trumpets becomes a reality, we pray that day comes, that Jesus Christ will return to the earth. We pray for the resurrection of the dead to occur, for that to happen. Only God knows. But we hope, really, I think we hope, that there's not all that many more as we pray thy kingdom come. We pray that it will, and will come soon. So we need to deeply appreciate the holy days, learn everything that we can from them, experience them to the fullest, maximize the moments. So observe and keep the holy days this year. Don't let them come and go just like they're a holiday of the world. They're not. It's holy time. These are holy days, holy convocations. Plan and prepare for them. Don't just let them occur. Plan. You still got some time. Show God that these days are special to you and that you take them very seriously. Thank God for them. Enter the holiday season with a right attitude. Fasting helps us with the right attitude, as we do that on Atonement. But have the right attitude. Display the Spirit of God in your life by the way that you conduct yourself now, of course, but especially as you're around other people during the holy days. And finally, be spiritual during the holy days. Focus on learning to fear God, appreciating what He's done for you. Picture yourself in the reality of the Feast of Trumpets. That day, the Feast of Trumpets, we will be changed to spirit beings, God beings. We will stand with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. We'll hear that choir. Just imagine the majesty of that glorious day. And you're going to be there. And then, as a few days pass, or however much time it is, time will mean nothing to us. Jesus Christ begins to proclaim, "Comfort, comfort my people. Your warfare is ended. Your iniquities are forgiven." As Jesus Christ is introduced to the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're co-heirs with Him, as pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, what that means. These days, picture you there, a member of the family God, an immortal, glorious co-heir of Jesus Christ, administering the government of God. Today, we're learning how to do that. Appreciate your calling. Maximize the moment of the holy days. And so a month from now, when these days are just a memory, we look back over the fall holy days of 2016, we'll be able to reflect back and we'll be able to thank God for what we've just experienced. A spiritually rewarding, a spiritually uplifting fall holy day season.